Whether you're shopping for grads, getting an early gift for dad, or just looking for a little something new or used for your shelf, you'll find it at HPB. And you'll get almost everything for an extra 20% off during the big sale at Half Price Books this Memorial Day weekend. Saturday, May 25th through Monday, May 27th, save big in-store at your local Half Price Books and at HPB.com. Offer cannot be combined with other coupons. Exclusions apply. To learn more, visit HPB.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You're a bad person. You put Lachey on here over Mitchell Evans,
who he was last year.
He played 7 games.
And now back to your regular programming.
If you speak better to yourself.
You showed up for like probably the dumbest conversation we've ever had on this show.
Let's have that smile again.
Tell me how that happens. Physically should not happen.
Relax. Just,
if you say.
Give me as well.
3 times a day. God will light it up!
He's just an absolute hack. And he gets his ass kicked by the teammates every week. And, you know, it's just terrible.
What, you can't handle reading and answering a question at the same time?
What are you, 60?
Or do you have to wait for him to finish speaking and then you answer your question? You got to learn how to read the question, then answer it. You almost have to drown out the talking.
Do you think that Jeopardy is going to be on in 15 years still?
Yeah, hell yeah.
I don't think so. I think that you're an archaic old man and your simpleton brain is overly entertained by the difficult questions.
That's true. What's the other trivia show that's competing with Jeopardy?
None.
Exactly.
They have a monopoly. You know who watches Jeopardy?
You have the dozen. That's what you have.
You know who watches Jeopardy? It doesn't matter. It's not about the show. It's people got too much time on their hands.
7:30 at night, you got too much time on your hands.
Pick up a book. Put some film on. Questions. Watch some film. Edit a video.
Oh my God.
Go to church. Hack City, Jody Leon, Sean Anderson. Welcome back. Today, we're going to be talking about the top FCS prospects that were drafted in the 2024 NFL draft. We're also going to share our top 5 tight ends for the upcoming college football season. A little bit of a short reaction to the Colorado drama that has been unfolding over the past 2 days. And then we've got another great male living space that we're going to be rating and also providing some suggestions for. God, we can't talk today. Sean, can you share with our listeners a quick word from our friends over at BetOnline?
That's another big word there, we, that I don't really align with about can't talking, but it is what it is. BetOnline, your number one source for all your summer sports this season. MLB, golf, NBA, NHL, playoffs, everything you need. The latest stats, they got them. News, yeah, you can check there. Scores available for you to follow your favorite teams. My favorite teams will stop playing before the playoffs starts in every sport for the next 5 years, and I'm comfortable with it. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to catch up on some news for the Miami Heat and then kind of disregard it and still bet on them to beat the Celtics, which is a bad, bad plan. But it is what it is. Head to BetOnline, sign up, get it going, and then use your mobile device, get in on the action. It's new read, Cam. There's no code. It stinks. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Nice job, Cam. I still am so...
It can't be his fault. I can't speak.
I still can't believe that after the whole saga of you interacting with him, us making fun of him on the show, him texting us after making fun of him on the show, he won. He dunked on you harder than anything that he could. What he did to you was an unjust act. And I, of course, am referring to taking a picture of the two of you and referring to you as my fans love me. I still can't believe you let him get away with that. He posted that on his Instagram like you were a random person who went up to him and recognized him. And you let him get away with that.
First of all,
I still can't believe you let that happen.
I tweeted out the photo first, giving a shout out to him. And if you wanted to double back on that, that's fine, because occasionally I'll throw on a Cam Rogers impression, which I don't know how he receives it. I've commented on his head size and shape. If he wants to comment back and call me a fan, I can take it. I am a fan of Cam Rogers. I think I will be a lifelong fan of his. And how, no matter how weird it gets. Oh, you shut up. Give me a break. After that draft stream and see your dynamic up close with Blake and Ryan, I you know what? In the hotel room, someone's sitting in the chair. It's not them. It's you, Cucky.
What is that? Relax, relax. Settle down over there. All right, I want to start with the NFL draft prospects for this past year that were selected in the NFL draft. Not as exciting of a class as we usually have. There wasn't really any premier players. There was no Trey Lance. There was no Dylan Raidens. There was no Spencer Brown. There's no Cole Strange. But we still had on pace for the typical average that we have. I think the number is 10 prospects per year that we typically see from the FCS. And that is very wide ranging, because I think there's some years where it's single digits, like really, really low down. There's some years where we'll have some blooming numbers. But 11 is pretty realistic for what we'll typically get. Of the notable 11 guys that were taken, Kiram Agamdaji from Yale, Jalix Hunt from Houston Christian, the edge rusher, offensive lineman, Mason McCormick from South Dakota State, Isaiah Davis, running back from South Dakota State, Christian Boyd, defensive tackle from Northern Iowa, Dylan Lauby from New Hampshire, the running back, Ryan Flournoy, wide receiver from Southeastern Missouri State, cornerback, Miles Harden from South Dakota, Levi Drake Rodriguez from Texas A&M Commerce, Josiah Ezrim from Eastern Kentucky, offensive lineman, and then CJ Hansen, OL from Holy Cross. Of these guys, who's like the one that stands out to you the most? Agamdaji was probably the most obvious one, just quickly for me. And then Davis, happy that he ends up with the Jets.
Yeah, it's got to be Jalix Hunt, right? Just getting dropped right into Philly with all those talented vets to learn from. And he's just got, before he was selected, I'm thinking, like, who's going to take him? Where would he fit? And you're kind of looking through the teams. Who really maximizes explosive edges and outside linebackers that can make an impact? And you start working through, Bucks are okay, Steelers are okay. And then, oh, Philly, look who drafted him. That makes sense. It's a make sense pick for me for Hunt to go in, develop, get better, start seeing NFL offenses quicker, and contribute. I think he's going to be one of the earliest contributors out of this FCS group. Amagaji, probably going to be rotating, could be a swing guy. I bet he learns all the positions on the offensive line if he hasn't already. And then, how do you not get excited for Dylan Laub? Or Lauby, however you,
Lauby. He was on the first team. We confirmed it's pronounced Lauby.
He is exciting. I wish he didn't go to Vegas necessarily, because I think they're a bit of a calamity at the point on offense. But for the most part, wow, yeah, that's a dude I thought might have gotten taken a round higher, but he's going to, I think, remain on a team or bounce around until someone knows how to use him. I mean, it's almost a stereotype at this point, but like the Patriots, that's a dude that they would use like crazy under Bill. But it's a new regime, so he'll bounce around and he'll find a team that'll work out.
Yeah, 49ers, man. I'm surprised he didn't end up with the 49ers. No, I'm obviously joking. Jalix Hunt was one that I was super excited about. One that I think deserves more recognition is Christian Boyd, who ended up with the Saints, the defensive tackle. He did not get a Senior Bowl invite. He did not get a combine invite. Ryan Roberts, who does the first team with me, has been a big advocate for Boyd. And physical guy, a little bit of burst that you don't really necessarily expect from a Northern Iowa player. But as we know, these guys are all really freaking good athletes. And I think that if there's anyone on here that just goes unexpectedly into becoming a impactful starter for one of these teams, maybe not impactful, but starting player that we're discussing on a week-to-week basis as an important piece on a defense, I could totally see it being Christian Boyd. But the rest of the class is pretty strong. I'm surprised. One that surprised me was no Jalen Coker, the Holy Cross receiver, that he wasn't drafted. I thought that he for sure was going to get selected over his teammate, CJ Hansen.
I thought both the South Dakota State big meaties were going to get drafted, but I guess Greenfield's going to have to keep on chopping wood. But Mason McCormick, Pittsburgh, it really doesn't make that. That makes tremendous sense to me. And Isaiah Davis of the Jets. The Jets use all their running backs. Last year, they used every running back that they had.
They also took Braylon Allen too. So this is a deep ass group that they're gonna be working with.
They had a lot of injury and turnover last year in that running back room. So it makes sense for them to want to solidify. And you know, every NFL team is gonna end of the rounds, late day three. We're looking for some O-line depth, whether it's just for camp. Whether it's just for maybe you continue, maybe you keep going. We need the depth. And FCS guys, they provide pretty good depth. I mean, on the Tampa, when they made their Super Bowl run in 2020, I think they had like two JMU guys when JMU was still in the FCS, two JMU offensive linemen, like in their top six, constantly rotating in or starters. So FCS offensive linemen are valuable in the NFL.
All right, Sean, let's talk about the top tight ends in the upcoming year for college football, guys that we are excited to see that we think are going to be some of the best playmakers in the country. I think this tight end group is going to be a little bit more exciting than last year's because it was Brock Bowers, it was Jatavion Sanders, and then it was a lot of who's who. I think there's going to be a little bit more name recognition for this list that we're going to be sharing today. I'm going to start us off with my number five, Tyler Warren. From Penn State last year, he had 34 receptions for 422 yards and 7 touchdowns. His teammate Theo Johnson was selected by the New York Giants in the 2024 NFL Draft. And I think that Tyler Warren is a more gifted player than his teammate Theo Johnson. Now, Theo Johnson was the better athlete, but I think that Tyler Warren is the more well-rounded, better football player that brings more of a tangible impact on a snap-to-snap basis. Warren, for me, I think that now that Theo Johnson is gone, is going to take an even bigger step forward, and Drew Allar is going to continue to develop a really good relationship with him. As we know, Penn State churns out tight ends, and I think that Tyler Warren, he's due up. He was the second guy last year, and now he's going to be due up as the primary target in this tight end room.
I like that you brought up a program that churns out tight ends. I do not have Warren on my top five, but my number five comes from a program that does. Luke Lachey from Iowa. What?
How many? What?
He's an Iowa tight end. I think he's going to be top five this year. I'm putting stake in Iowa tight ends. And you can rub your eyes. You can pinch your nose.
He was Eric All's backup last year. Sometimes I think we got a really good program here. I think we got some serious lists, and then you come here with this shit. How many yards did he have last year? He was Eric All's backup. You can't just name a nut. You can't just go, "Bob, Iowa tight end. Here's the next one."
Oh yes, I can.
You're such.
The program is called Hack City and not the first team, and I can say Luke Lachey.
What was his production last year?
Iowa tight end. That was his production. Their offense was god awful, garbage, bad. No one's going to say anything. Go ahead, look up what you need to look up. Do what you need to do. I like him. I watched his film when he caught the ball. I liked that his first move was upwards and towards the goal line. That's what I enjoyed about his game.
He had 10 receptions for 131 yards.
And they kept going north. I like him.
I think he's a little bit springy in the knees and the ankles, too. I'm excited for him this year. Luke Lachey, keep it marked down, brother. Just watch out.
I can't believe that you're doing this. I can't believe that you're doing this bit. I need God. You need God. Who?
I guess he's not on your list.
No! He played three games! How do I make a pick by somebody who played three games? No!
Because they know how to coach tight ends at Iowa. Tight end university. I'm going to put stock into it. You know what? You're a day trader. I like the blue chip stuff. That's how we're doing it. All right? You can take your get-rich-quick penny stock, guys. That's cool. I'm riding with my Amazon over here that puts out tight end after tight end after tight end. And they're all Pro Bowlers. It's like Stanford in 2012 to 2015.
We don't helmet scout on this program, Sean.
My
number four was Bryson Nesbitt from UNC. Last year, he had 41 receptions for 585 yards and 5 touchdowns. He was one of Drake May's favorite targets. 2 years ago, I spotted him when he was the third tight end at North Carolina. And you could really, really see that this kid had some juice. And I kind of wonder what happens now that Drake May is gone and the offensive production goes down a little bit. But he might be the most athletic tight end outside of Colston Loveland in the country returning. Not much of a blocker, kind of like Evan Ingram. He is going to kill you after the catch. I really think that Bryson Nesbitt is a step away from being one of the most productive tight ends in the country, which he was already last year. But getting from the 500-yard mark into like the 800-yard mark for some crazy numbers.
Now, I don't like you trying to butter me up because you know I like Bryson Nesbitt, but I like that he's on your list. He's productive. I'm excited to see him on the Patriots in next season. Why not pair those two up back together? Patriots love rotating the tight ends in there with their quarterbacks. He was my number two tight end. I love his after-the-catch stuff. I love that he can break away from a linebacker that's taking him lightly. A lazy linebacker will get punished all game by Bryson Nesbitt. You can't guard me on the seam and you're taking me lightly on the out route. You're going to get punished. And if safety's coming down, I'm Bryson Nesbitt. I'm big. I'm tall. I'm a tight end. I'm not worried. I'm cool. I like Bryson Nesbitt. I'm glad you have him on your list. I will give my number four now. Hopefully this one causes less controversy. It will. If I say the name Brant Keithy, are you going to get upset with me?
You're talking about Brant Cuth, right? The Utah tight end. I thought you just made up another guy. You're talking about
No. Brant Keithy. I heard that when I was watching his film, announcer said, "There's Keithy."
It's Keithy, really?
Yes.
This is my yearly call to action to SIDs. Put the phonetic pronunciation on the kid's goddamn bio. Not all of us are sitting in the press box. We don't all have the game day programs. Put the pronunciation in the goddamn on his bio. Sorry, continue.
You know what's tough for me, actually? Once I actually see the written out pronunciation, it scrambles the whole word up in my name, in my head even worse. So I know it would be like an E with a hard line on top of it, or like a capital E if it needed to, but my pronunciation writing was K-E-E-T-H-E-E. That's not how it would show up. And I would not have said it the same way if that's how I read it in an SID manual.
I give you credit for looking it up, though. I will give you credit for that.
Continue. He's solid. He's got some shake and some wiggle for a tight end. Surprising shake and wiggle. It's kind of quirked up when he gets the ball in his hands. He's a Utah tight end, so that's a bit of a recency effect because they've been slowly climbing that Yodeler Mountain to tight end university. They keep on putting out really good, solid dudes. Man, solid hands, sure hands. I got to stop saying solid as much. He's sure-handed, and if you're a defensive back, you need to tackle low because if you think you're just going to push him out of bounds, you're going to be running out of bounds and turning around and seeing him go towards the pylon, which he does. He's in my top five for sure. Brant Keithy, Utah.
Keithy did not make my list just purely because he didn't play last year. He was hurt last year. He was unavailable.
A lot of these tight ends last year on this that are returning were hurt last year. A lot of them were hurt.
He didn't play any snaps. Some of the other guys that we're talking about were hurt and still contributed for part of the season. So we kind of got that glimpse and understanding of, okay, this guy is still the same guy. I think Keithy's certainly in a top 10. I don't like ranking guys in anything if they didn't play at all the previous year.
Like I just need a glimpse, man. I just need a glimpse, and I can see the, you got to be able to see the vision.
Number three for me was Ben. It's either Ben or Benjamin. Benjamin Jurasek.
I went Benjamin.
Okay. That's what it consistently is. Benjamin Jurasek, who transferred from Stanford to Georgia in six games last year. He had 239 yards and a touchdown. He has been one of these guys that has been so frustrating to follow because the teams that he's played on have not known at all how to use him. When he was playing under David Shaw, they were running the football, and you could tell that they were asking him to play the inline block down on a defensive end type of a tight end role, and sometimes he would catch the ball. And when he did, he would really, really shine. And then this last year, he got banged up and was starting to be utilized more in line with what we're used to seeing in a more potent offense. I think that him landing at Georgia and taking over Brock Bowers' role and having Oscar Delp to play off of is going to help him emerge yet again as one of the top tight ends in the country. He's special, man. He can move, but he just has to stay on the field and needs to get the touches that he deserves.
He was my number three tight end as well. Moving over to Georgia is it's very important for him, I would say, to be catching the ball from Carson Beck. Could be a massive duo this next season. Carson Beck really looking to bloom, blossom, shine in front of when all the eyes are on him. What do NFL scouts like, Joe? They like a quarterback that knows how to throw it to the tight end, get a safety valve, get a third down conversion. It wins games in the NFL if you can utilize that big guy. Jurasek could be that for Georgia. It's just the rich. It's not the rich getting richer. It's the smart continuing to be smart with their recruiting and getting him over there. That's how I'm starting to analyze it, because I don't think you're ever really getting richer if you're bringing in a good tight end. I think you're just making a really smart football play. So I like that.
I'm now realizing the bullshit that you're on this episode.
What do you mean?
Can you reread? Because your 5 through 2 have been revealed, correct? Because you said Nesbitt was your number two.
Yeah, Lachey, Keithy, Jurasek, Nesbitt.
You're a piece of shit, man. You're a bad person. You put Lachey on here over Mitchell Evans,
who he was last year.
He played 7 games, 7 more games than Keithy did, and in those 7 games, he had over 440 yards on 29 receptions and a touchdown. He was one of the most productive tight ends in that 7-game span. And if he finished the year, he would have had the most yards out of any tight end in the country, more than Brock Bowers. He was the most important offensive weapon for Notre Dame. And you said, F you, Mitchell Evans, you're not making it onto my list for whatever dog shit reason.
Congrats, Mitchell Evans. He had a good one-handed catch
for 20 minutes with Blake yesterday about him putting him at 3 and me. No, he put him at 4 and I had him at 2. This is some bullshit and you know it. Why isn't he on your list?
He was hurt last year.
You put a guy that didn't play a single game. Give me a good reason.
He's an Iowa tight end. He's going to be pro ready.
I didn't ask you. I'm talking about Keithy. Keithy didn't play a single game last year. So why is it Mitchell Evans on your list?
Keithy's fast and he can juke. Why is it Mitchell Evans?
Just say you forgot.
Him. I didn't forget about him. I didn't forget about him. I started looking at these other guys. I said, they're faster. They look to be a little bit leaner. Maybe they don't have that crazy sticky glove that Notre Dame has, because every Notre Dame tight end nowadays has to have some crazy one-handed catches. Mayers were better.
The mental gymnastics.
You couldn't comprehend walking around this mental. You couldn't comprehend walking in one ear, going out the other. You would not be able to survive.
There is a monkey with
Jesus Christ. Let's see. symbols. The word is symbols. It's an instrument. It's maybe one of the first. You talked about my, you want to talk about my brain capacity.
The irony of me symbols. Trying to, yeah.
Stop. Don't think that my lists are a personal attack against you and the team that you root for.
It's not a matter if it's a personal attack. It's a personal attack
piece of shit.
On the integrity of college football. Anyone with two eyes knows that Mitchell Evans is one of the best tight ends in the country. Number one, we both have Colston Loveland. Okay. Yeah.
Can we agree on that?
Yes, we can. 45 receptions. Sorry, wait, let me restart that. So Wyatt can cut this clip. 45 receptions last year for Colston Loveland, 649 yards, 4 touchdowns. He now is the premier guy. AJ Barner moved on to the NFL. He was primarily just a blocking guy. But Colston Loveland is one of those freaky athletes that is so hard to keep up with in space. And I'm curious to see how Sharon Moore tries to keep him as one of the focal points in this offense. I think with Alex Orji showing some inconsistencies in the spring game, makes me think that Colston Loveland's production is going to go off, in the sense that whenever we have a young quarterback who doesn't have a lot of playing time under their belt, a lot of times they turn to a steady, consistent target, that being a tight end. Great current example. Kyle McCord was the dump-off option. Kyle McCord's dump-off option was Cade Stover last year.
Yes.
It was one of the guys that he always found when things broke down, and he had a ton of huge games. So I really think that Colston Loveland is going to be the best friend of Alex Orji this season.
Well, when you watch enough tight ends, you realize that Loveland is a great compilation of all the tight ends out there. And he's NFL built. He's got the frame, the speed, the catch radius, and on the field, you can see with your eyes. If you're really looking, you're really trying to look through the veil, you're like, ah, oh, who does he remind me of? Oh, he reminds me of an NFL tight end. That's who he reminds me of. It's great. He moves so fluidly. The way he even comes off the line looks like an NFL tight end. If he's blocking or release, or we did great in that scheme last year, his play action stuff. He was great on that. Let me sell, kick out, and then I'll bail out my dummy quarterback and hope he can hit me in my hands. Sometimes he did. So I'm high on Loveland also. I think clear cut number one for this upcoming year out of the tight end group.
All right, that's our top five tight ends heading into 2024 college football.
Whether you're shopping for grads, getting an early gift for dad, or just looking for a little something new or used for your shelf, you'll find it at HPB, and you'll get almost everything for an extra 20% off during the big sale at Half Price Books this Memorial Day weekend. Saturday, May 25th through Monday, May 27th, save big in-store at your local Half Price Books and at HPB.com. Offer cannot be combined with other coupons. Exclusions apply. To learn more, visit HPB.com.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Season. So there has been a lot of drama building up over the course of the past few weeks around Colorado. And look, Sean, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm sick of talking about it. I'm sick of seeing it. The recent issue that had occurred is that The Athletic put out an article of a former player who had been disenfranchised, kind of talked about how he was treated on his way out. That then resulted in Shedeur Sanders, Shiloh Sanders, and Deion Sanders making statements on Twitter about said player. Then today, Deion Sanders took it a step further as he proceeded to say he's got time to respond to all the jokers. And Shiloh Sanders called Mike Farrell a bitch for his comments about them being thin-skinned. I'm just so over that this is the way that the best way that I can put it is that I don't think it's abnormal for players to be angry with being pushed out of a program. We played with a lot of guys who we had roster turnover. Not as much as this, but we had roster turnover. The starters would have said Coach Flem and the coaching staff were great. The guys that got pushed out, got their scholarships taken away, would have said that they were the worst people that they've ever met. You're going to have players that are upset. But I think what bothers me is Shador Sanders saying, making a public statement when he's the starting quarterback, that he doesn't remember who this player was. And that Deion Sanders is quote tweeting and commenting on said player's stats. Just let it move on. Let it die. I just don't love that this is how these situations are being handled. I think that they're, I don't know necessarily what the better way to handle it is. I just don't think that this toxicity is meant to be in college football.
There's a lot of breakdowns with how Colorado football has been operating within the last year. And all of it is when Deion Sanders was introduced, he laid out the plan. And so you have to respect that he said, I'm going to clear this team out. I'm going to bring in my guys. This team wasn't winning, and they weren't going to keep winning with these guys. I'm acting as Deion Sanders in this conversation. I'm bringing in my guys. I told everybody about it, and people didn't like it. Then we started winning, and people liked it. And then we started losing, and then it flipped on over on us. But one thing I think he's still doing is he's still being Deion. You see, he hasn't diverted from his original plan of trying to bring in the best players for his program. There's just the decorum on the way out, and the decorum on social media is way too incendiary for a college football program. Even if you're telling us, hey, I'm going to be kind of incendiary when I start this thing up. There are new rules and I'm going to use them. Fine. Everyone else is using them. You use them. The way that the message is going out is that, hey, you're not good enough to play here. We also got four wins last year. That doesn't work as much. Winning cures all. I'd love to see what would have happened, how this conversation would have been if they got 7-8 wins last year, how we'd be looking at it, how we'd be previewing Colorado instead of wondering, hey, it kind of looks like a gong show on social media. Will it be a gong show this upcoming season? You don't want those optics on your program. If it is a gong show, you want to keep it as quiet as possible. Deal with it that way so you don't lose faith from the fans. And you don't want the media against you either. People just duking it out all day on social media. Your coach, practice. What you were saying about me in Jeopardy? Go watch film. Go make a call. Do a home visit. There's other things you can do. But if they're still doing it their way at Colorado, then let's let them do it their way. I'm not going to overreact in year one. I just wish that the optics were better. That's all. I don't think it could be. Because like you said, this is roster turnover. No matter how you look at it, it's just being dealt with very differently than how it normally is.
I think that what's bothersome with this is that at any other program, most of the head coaches don't even, first of all, operate their own Twitter. Lane Kiffin's the only exception. And Lane Kiffin might be publicly vocal, but when he's vocal, it's about getting his boosters to give the program more money. The only time he got caught saying something negative about a player is when said player recorded him in a one-on-one meeting for a lawsuit.
And I still don't even think it was that negative, by the way. It was, hey, you're on the team. I need you at team activities, from what I recall from it.
Yeah. If players were doing and making comments like this, they'd be called into the coach's office and they would have been told to stop. For anyone who wants to act like this is something that happens at other programs is wrong. They don't know college football. I stand by my stance here. The toxic aspects of it are what I'm getting sick of. The fun aspects are great. When they were winning those early games and got those upsets, Shador Sanders is fun to watch. Travis Hunter is really fun to watch. Deion Sanders. And then calling out anyone that had doubted them early. Like that I'm fine with. Like do it in a press conference after a game. Get off of Twitter. This is the biggest issue that comes with all this is that when you haven't proven anything, and I live my life by this. If you haven't proven anything, don't talk. Don't say anything. I will never tell people what my goals are. I will never talk shit down to other people publicly if I'm competing with people. I'll never do any of that because all of that will come back to bite me in the ass.
It's all draft material. It's all in the folder. This is the podium meme where the guy's receiving the medal, he's popping the bottle, and you zoom out and he's like 12th on the podium, and then everyone else is up top, gold medals and all that. This feels a little bit like this for four wins. I don't know how this helps with their draft stocks either for Deion Sanders' kids, for Shiloh and Shedeur. How does this look as a teammate?
But by the way, you know, in all seriousness and all this, before we move on, give some props to the one guy who's been the biggest adult in the room, who considers to be one of Deion Sanders' kids. A lot of people say that he's treated as such. Travis Hunter doesn't talk during any of this, and he does and produces his own content. Unless I'm missing something, I haven't heard from him once.
It hasn't been. Travis Hunter speaks out, sides with. It's not that. He's just playing.
He's been the most quiet.
Yeah.
How? And for anyone who wants to say like, oh, that's disrespectful to say that these kids need to stay quiet, that's not what I'm saying. Be an adult and understand what is the appropriate. It's like when you get let go from a job. When
it's
a guy,
understanding your platform also.
Yes. But like if you're a coworker got let go, you're not going to jump on Twitter and be like, buddy sucked. He was a bad editor. I'm glad that we got rid of him. No, any future employer would consider you to be an asshole. I don't know, man. I hate the toxicity. And I'm a toxic person. I just can't get behind it.
I love the toxic stuff on the field, because if football treats, when you're in between the hashes, it treats
on you. The field. True.
On the field, you are going to face you're going to get toxic, and someone's going to get real toxic with you, and you're going to be having a long walk back to the locker room. You get it both ways on the field, off the field. It's just a little bit, it's different. It's different. There's kind of like the NFL guys always talk about the fraternity, right? College football doesn't necessarily have that fraternity element yet, because there are a bunch of college dudes that are playing. And before now, there didn't necessarily need to be a fraternity because no one was getting paid. Now people are getting paid. Let's start treating it a little more, not clandestine, but maybe a little more sacred. I don't know.
Yeah. Final thought on this. I would like for Colorado to win and be successful. I'm rooting for Shedeur Sanders and for Travis Hunter to have great NFL careers. But I would just like for the results to show up on the field. And I would also like for there to be less toxic things like this. Go talk shit on the field. Don't do it on Twitter to guys that were just trying to get play, that we're just trying to be a part of the program, man. Like it's he answered
people
the question honestly.
On the field. You could say that on the field. You could talk about buddy, you suck, buddy, you don't belong here. All that stuff that's on field trash talk. Out on Twitter with the people that aren't on the field saying that stuff puts a whole different light on it. It's just a little bit different. I like it in between the hashes a little bit more, even though I don't know, maybe I'm lying. Maybe I'm a hypocrite and I'm eating it all up. Who knows? Jury's still out.
All right, we've got another male living space here to wrap up the show for the next 5 minutes. This was posted today. So this individual, giving a lot of divorced dad energy, got this off of the r/male living space subreddit. I'm going to quickly read this. I have a girl coming over later this week, and I'm not confident in the presentation of my home at all. I bought my house a little under a year ago, and I just haven't been able to fully furnish it yet. So I've got a ton of empty space everywhere and areas that just look bland. I can't fix everything right away, but I figure I can fix up my living room at the very least, so I'm going to take a trip to the at-home store down the street. I'm thinking a big rug and a nice large painting to put over the sofa at the very least. I also have a Govee RGB floor lamp I can bring and put next to the TV. Any more thoughts, ideas are welcome. Note my kids' table and chair, and also the basketball will be removed. I'm going to throw up the images. Sean, do you have it pulled up for reference?
Yeah, I would leave the basketball. Why not? You got a basketball there. Yeah. Makes you look active. And then also,
kids' chair is kind of cool. Kids' table, I mean. I think you remove the couch and just go with the kids, the little chair with the table.
Raise the those blinds are, you know, maybe the blinds are scary.
God. No, those blinds are scary. The TV, okay, I'm like, it's comedic how big the TV is. The TV is too much, is so large in comparison to the media console. I also love, and I think priority number one needs to be covering up the gigantic hole that was clearly just recently filled in. You see what I'm talking about next to that outlet?
Yeah, try to
that's
go.
That's got to be priority one. See
if you can match eggshell BBL 03 color, maybe that'll work. You can't just have blank white paint over where clearly a construction worker put their steel-toed boot through and they decided to repaint over it. I would also just suggest maybe some color in the space. God, you know what's pissing? That's got to be a speaker to the right of that audio center, right?
To the right of the audio. Yeah. On the ground. Yeah, that's not good placement of the,
You know what? That's the audio dork in me. I just hate seeing it on the floor right there. And I would almost tuck it away because I've never seen, personally a woman impressed by my speaker sound setup ever. Women watch TVs on small TVs with the TV speaker. And then I think they leave the little home menu up while they watch it also. So you don't need to get extravagant with your media set if you're having a woman over.
Also, this guy just moved in. Why is the media console so dusty? God, this this wall also has so many marks on it.
Oh. This is a...
Definitely giving divorced dad energy, by the way.
This also, reminds me, I had to move a guy who I think was recently divorced into a place. And it was a couple years ago. This is when I was driving my granddad's minivan, and my buddy Sam called me up and says, "Hey, my dad, because he was selling a house. My dad's selling It's like a
wardrobe.
Wardrobe. Yeah. Selling this wardrobe. Perfect. Thank you, Joe. Could we get it in your van? We drive it over. This guy says he'll pay us. I'm like, okay. You know what? 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I can do that. We can make this happen. Drive out, talking to him. He's like, yeah. It's supposed to be a nice place. The guy comes in a Lexus. I'm like, oh, okay. Maybe he's going to pay me pretty good here. And then he's like, yeah, apparently this place is like a gated community. It's supposed to be really good. We just want to drop this. He really likes the piece. I'm like, oh, he's calling a piece too. Oh, maybe this can be a good cash day. Maybe this guy could, he needs something taken out and I could get paid for that too. Show up. It is such a divorced dad community needed an apartment by the end of the week. It wasn't a gate. It was a buzzer without an attendant when we pulled up and the gate was wide open. So we drove in, we moved the wardrobe in, and I think we split $40 between the two of us or $60. And it was a rough scene. This gentleman with the male living space doing a little bit better, but the dusty media center tells it everything. It says, we need to just pick this up and move it. So that was definitely an experience I'll never forget. And I'll always be a little sympathetic to the clearly starting over male living space.
First of all, by the way, this guy is definitely in his mid 30s. If he is, he shouldn't be saying girl. He's definitely has a 30-year-old woman coming over. So let's change the framing of that quickly. I think he needs to get like a LeBron poster and put it to the left of the TV. That's probably the most that I would do.
I was thinking a Ben Roethlisberger fat head right behind the couch.
Oh, I like that. What about a air hockey table as the coffee table? By the way, we might have one available to us. An air hockey table for the new crib.
Let's just, oh really?
TBD with to be determined with that. Air coffee table.
You want no business in the air hockey. I'd be like a big Gundam figurine by the TV. I don't know, like it, that'd be sick. Like a 5 foot tall Gundam fucking mecha. Awesome. That'd be
the back corner could use like a cactus. I'd put a really, really big, comically large cactus or like a pine tree.
maybe an elk's head right above the cactus, so it makes it look like the elk is enjoying the cactus.
What kind of wall art would you put behind the couch?
Wall out. I would do the three. I know what you know. I would do the three kind of paintings that are separated, but they're supposed to be the same one, with a big, like 2D graphic samurai going across it, like the real hardcore tap out shirt vibes. That's what I would throw over that thing. Let her know, hey, yeah, I'm in my 30s and I'm not messing around.
My other suggestion would be, assuming that there's not another, like, could we create like a bigger window? Like, could we just open that up?
Maybe like a picture of an A-10 Warthog. That'd be awesome. Some fighter jet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really into aviation. Then she might think you're trying to be a pilot.
I think that we need 5 to 6 more basketballs. Yeah,
I was about to say, let's get another basketball in there.
To the right of the couch, like 5 to 6 of them stacked up, but not like in a bag or anything, just loose.
I'd like to see an NBA game ball. I'd like to see, you know, gym class ball worn down. Maybe spend some money on an autograph ball. Don't frame it. Just throw it with the other basketballs on the ground. Then you're really thinking, oh, this guy, you know, he's playing basketball a lot. Must be in shape. Must be an active man.
We should put in this gap here to the right of the couch, but parallel with the far wall. I want one of those chairs that's got like the fridge in it. I think that would be cool too.
I'm waiting to see the stadium seating. Hey, I just moved in. I got a couch. I got another couch coming. It's going to go above my other couch. If you could find a way to get some stadium seating in a flat, that'd be sick.
Are we doing that? Should we do that?
Do you want? I wouldn't mind doing a stadium seating stream.
All right, to be figured out. At Joe DeLeon, at Sanderson Radio, at Hack City Pod on Twitter. Thanks for tuning in. Hit the subscribe button, drop a comment. We'll talk to you folks later. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Whether you're shopping for grads, getting an early gift for dad, or just looking for a little something new or used for yourself, you'll find it at HPB. And you'll get almost everything for an extra 20% off during the big sale at Half Price Books this Memorial Day weekend. Saturday, May 25th through Monday, May 27th, save big in-store at your local Half Price Books and at HPB.com. Offer cannot be combined with other coupons. Exclusions apply. To learn more, visit HPB.com.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.